part of this worship service this morning. It's good, and I'm grateful that the Lord has woken me up this morning.
Amen.
And it's an honor to have this opportunity to share with you a portion of His Word. And while it's only been a few weeks since we were last before you in worship, it feels like so much has passed. An entire year. But I'm glad to see so many of you made it through the holiday season and into this new year, hopefully happy, healthy, and not saddled with overwhelming credit card debt. Since we were last before you, I shared with some in Bible study hour, my mom is relocated back to Florida. I ask that you keep her in prayer. She resided there for over 30 years, so it is going back to. But she's successfully made the transition and enjoying warm weather. I also ask if you would please keep in prayer. He is my uncle, but he's also the minister of the Eatonville Church of Christ in Florida. He had a stroke this past week, but came through pretty well. He spent overnight in the hospital, but then he was discharged. 75 years old. Keeps himself in pretty reasonably good health. I don't know if he's back up in the pulpit this morning, but I imagine it won't be that long. His speech seems to be unimpaired and his cognitive thought. So that's a blessing. But I'd ask if you would please keep him in prayer, as well as the church there in Eatonville. As they continue to do God's work. This morning I want to speak from the Gospel according to John. So if you could open up your Bibles. Is anybody in need of a Bible this morning so that you can follow along with our Word? I want you to take my word for it, but I want you to see it in God's Word. We're going to spend most of it in the Gospel according to John. Well, it's last before you, we spent a lot of that time in the Gospel, or in the book of James. My uncle was Jim. My father was John. They were the sons of thunder themselves. My thoughts always return to John in January. My son is John. January was my father's birthday. But I was in the book of John this week. We're going to be in the book of John. The title of my message this morning is What is Truth?
All right.
And it's going to be taken from the utterance of Pontius Pilate in John chapter 18, verse 38.
All right.
So, I'm going to predominantly come from the book of John, as John was particularly preoccupied with that word truth. Mm-hmm. Right? But you're going to see some link as well, I hope, to what we also studied in our Bible study hour. Right? In our Bible study hour, you had God's adversaries reaching out to a Persian king named Artaxerxes, right? And we know in the Gospel, we're going to have God's adversaries reach out to a Roman governor named Pontius, right? But not, there's similarities between the two events, right? In terms of what the politicians know, what the politicians' role in the process was, and their ability to discern truth. But if you're in the Gospel of John, or I'm going to take it, John's particularly preoccupied with that word truth. You find the word truth appears in the Gospel of John over 90 times. Mm-hmm. How many of us like to be told the truth? Yeah, big fan of it. In the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, truth is defined as the body of real things, events, and facts. Mm-hmm. It's also defined as a transcendent, fundamental, or spiritual reality, or as being in accordance with fact. The definition we just heard, that being in accordance with fact, is part of the reason why I want to consider today's passage of Scripture. Pontius asks Christ, what is truth? You see, the word fact at times is used as a substitute word for truth. At times, it's used to try and redefine our understanding of truth. And our passage that I want to take us to today is really going to reveal to us what truth really is. As we live today in an age of something that's referred to at times as moral relativism. Mm-hmm. Anybody ever heard of moral relativism?
Yeah.
There you go. Moral relativism is the notion that truth is relative to our own life circumstances, our own preferences, and our own opinion. Mm-hmm. Right? People who believe in it will say that there is no absolute truth, and that we define our own truth. And I have my truth that works for me, however it might not work for you. Right? You can believe what you want to believe, and I'll believe what I want to believe, and I just don't tell me that your belief is the only correct view or the truth. You know, today's society, really, this is what goes back to the notion of tolerance. When at times, Christians and others are viewed as intolerant, and it stems from this principle of moral relativism, this view that we're all supposed to tolerate everyone else's version of the truth, right? But we're going to spend this time, as I said, like, you don't have to get from me, what do I think truth is? And so said, in the Gospel of John, truth appears 90 times. You may find it interesting as we transition from, as a society, tolerating everyone else's truths. You know, now the new, more in-style thing is to talk about fact-checking. Right? You know, we keep hearing about fact-checking. It's being used by big tech and the media. People talk about fact-checking. And the term fact is defined as something that actually exists, a reality or a truth, or a truth known by actual observation or experience, something known to be true. Something said to be true as opposed to something that's actually happened. So at times people will try and use the word fact and use truth in its definition, right? Maybe fact-checking is truth-checking. But it's all hinging around this same subject that we see discussed in the gospel. What is truth? Right? You know, the idea of fact-checking goes against moral relativism, right? Because we can all hold our own opinion, claiming our beliefs to be correct, but the idea of fact-checking, or truth-checking, is to try and dig at what is actually accurate in the situation. But we have to be honest and acknowledge that the society and communities we live in, there's typically a preference for being told the truth when it favors us, right? And frowning upon it when it does not. Right? That's, let's say, you know, how many times, see, it's a couple married men in here today. How many times has a husband been pinned in the corner by their wife asking, do I look fat in this?
Come on, preacher.
What do you want to hear?
The truth?
Right? What is truth?
Right?
When we hear the truth from God, it's not always what we'd like to hear. When Jesus came to us, he came as the truth. Mm-hmm. But he came with grace.
Yes, sir.
And truth.
Yes.
All right. That grace is the way you deliver the truth. Right. It's sometimes a way of delivering the truth that isn't very graceful.
Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. So Christ came with grace and truth.
Yes, it did.
When we look at this word truth in John, we discover that he uses this word more than any other gospel. So I wanted you to start seeing that yourself. Open, if you're in John, I take these kind of in order, just so that you can attest to what the preacher said, right? Like, so starting John chapter 1, right? In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, Christ, mm-hmm. right? And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 17 tells us, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Alright? Moving forward in John chapter 3, verse 21. I'm not going to do all 90, I promise. But moving forward in John chapter 3, verse 21, it says, "But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Alright? "He who practices truth," is the way it reads in other translations, "comes into the light, that when he is done may be clearly seen that they have been done through God." Those who live by truth come to Jesus. But those who wish to live by their own desires do not want to come to Jesus. They prefer illusions to the truth. Christ preaches this. Alright, as we carry on in the Gospel of John, if you're in John chapter 4, just flip that page. Alright, it says, "But the hour cometh," John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. "But the hour comes and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Can't separate it.
No.
I didn't have a worship that's spiritual.
That's right.
But is not overly factual or filled with the truth of the gospel. Right? He says, "The hour comes now when the worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him."
That's right.
God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Mm-hmm. Right? Not one and not one without the other. Mm-hmm. John chapter 5, verse 33. Right, flip the page again. I'll tell you. "You sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth." John uses the truth pretty synonymously with Christ. Right, as we'll see as he goes through the gospel. What was John's testimony? What is the gospel? It was that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the Son of God who was anointed by the Holy Spirit. Right. John says in chapter 8, verses 31 through 32, records the words, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciple indeed. If you continue in my word."
If.
Right? If. This goes back to my message from last month of how faith that works is going to have actions that come after that attestation or proclamation of faith. Right? "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Right? Truth has a freeing quality to it. And the only way to know the truth is to know Christ and follow in his teachings.
That's right.
Right. That's where this false doctrine, "Well, this is my truth." You may have. I'm not saying you don't have your own point of view. Right? Right? But if we're going to come together as Christians, it's because we're going to align ourselves to the truth of the gospel. The truth that John is speaking of is the word of Christ. Right? He says in John, carrying on now in verses 44 and verses 45 of that same John chapter 8, says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not." So this isn't new, right? Like when we think nowadays, not like when I grew up. Nowadays it's so easy to listen to and believe lies. If Christ was speaking to that same point 2,000 years ago, then it was easy back then too. Right? And it probably was easy in your childhood, and maybe you're overly romanticizing your childhood. I'm not saying for sure, but like, at the end of the day, it's Christ is speaking to it because he's having to confront it right there. Right? Why is the truth of God so difficult for so many to accept and embrace? Well, let's keep reading, right? It says, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Verse 46 and 47. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God hears God's words. Mm-hmm. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God.
Right.
Right. Jesus asks his audience this day to reveal any sin in his life. Any sin. Which of you convinces me of sin? You got any sins that you could say I committed? Right? He asks this knowing the answer. Right? They cannot. Then he reveals that truth. When people reject the word of God, it's because they are not of God. Amen. Those who are not of God live in the comfort of their own illusions and lie and resist the words of truth.
Right.
That's what he's saying. Why do people not believe in Jesus today? Is it because Jesus is a liar or a lunatic or a sinner? Or do they just simply believe him to be a myth or a fable or a legend? No, Jesus is the truth. Mm-hmm. To reject Jesus is to reject reality.
Right.
The truth became flesh and dwelt amongst us as grace and truth personified.
Yes, sir.
The truth was born in Bethlehem.
Yes.
We do the December 25th thing, but we don't know the date. Right? The truth was born in Bethlehem. The truth grew up and spoke every word of God to us.
That's right.
Jesus said, I have kept them in thy word, and thy word is truth. Mm-hmm. He came here and he lived and said to us, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. What proof could be given that Jesus is indeed the truth of God? You can ask yourself that. What proof could be given? Well, how about if we saw him crucified, right? And how about if he was then resurrected 3 days later, right? Would that suffice? Well, only to those who believe the witnesses that saw him, the numerous witnesses that saw it. One day every eye will see him, and every one of us will stand before him. One day, it tells us in Scripture, every knee will bow and confess that Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
The truth will eventually become universally confessed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what that Scripture is telling us. Whether they're going to accept it on this time side of life, those who resist it until it's forced upon them. Right, and when it's forced upon them, there is no reward, right? Other than a fearful judgment of fire. Right, Jesus' disciples who saw him and listened to him understood who he was and is, and they began to follow him. Did they understand him fully? It's an important question. Did they understand him fully? I think everybody who reads the gospel knows no. Right? They are constantly needing correction, just like we do. Right? To know Christ does not mean you understand Christ fully.
That's right.
Right? We can accept that. Did they enjoy everything he said to them?
No.
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 No, not at all.
Right? But did they commit their lives to him? Yes. Save one, Jesus. When you commit your life to Jesus, you're committing your life to love and truth and reality. Truth, faithfulness, and love are bundled together in Scripture, right? In Christ. Jesus told the disciples, I'm going away, and when I go, I will send the Comforter to you. That is the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth. The world does not see him or know him. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to abide in us. And all who are his are given the Holy Spirit. And he who is in us testifies to the truth. Jesus said, he will testify about me. If we have the Spirit of God in us, we will testify about Christ. That is what Jesus said the Holy Spirit will do. Through work. Do you know sometimes, and there's those times when you want to say something about Christ or Jesus, do you ever resist that urge to speak up for the truth? Don't you know that when you are moved to speak to Jesus, do you know where that's coming from? It's the Holy Spirit within you. Right? Don't resist it. When you resist him and you hold back, you're wanting a lie more than you're wanting the truth to be revealed, or you're unwilling to accept the consequence of having that testimony come from you. Right? And that can be tragic, that the greatest treasure of heaven, Christ, the Son of God, God's truth, right, can be withheld. Right? The world will hate you for holding it in your heart and speaking the truth with your mouth, though. That we talked about in our Bible study. If you think the world will not resist you, they certainly will. It hated Jesus, it will hate you too. Truth is not of this world. This evil world is happily led by liars. Right? He tells you things that you want to hear, not the truth that you need to hear.
Come on now.
Right? The world will tell you what you can do for yourself, but won't offer to correct you. Right? The father of lies is a murderer. Right? That's what Christ is preaching here. All that is about truth is life and peace. Christ came to give us peace, or truth, and Jesus prayed, Father, sanctify them in the truth as your word is truth. Right? Said all that. I said I was going to get to John chapter 18 in Pontus, and I was like, I haven't gotten there yet. So now let's go. John chapter 18. Right? John chapter 18 is where the Gospels, all of them have them in different spots, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, begin in telling the story of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Right? And all of the characters in this event have a contribution to helping us more clearly see who Jesus is. Right? We think about Peter. Right? Peter says he's not going to deny him, and denies him three times. Right? Peter later gets questioned whether he knows who Christ is and says, I don't know. A lie. Right? Jesus turns and looks at Peter and says, Luke, you know, the truth crashes in and around Peter, yeah. Right? The truth is reality. It's not like the lies, right? Wishing they couldn't exist, right? That's the rock. But let's look at Pilate, another character in the Gospels, in this death, burial, and resurrection that I said I wanted to get to. In John chapter 18, right, you have this interaction where now Christ has been brought before the local politician, right? The Artaxerxes of this story. Right? Like he's been brought before this politician, right? And in verse 33 through 38, you have this interaction, verse 38 being where my topic was taken from. I'll read it to you from the King James, and I'll recap it. It says, Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called to Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered it and says, Saying thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it to thee of me? And Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered them and said, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, and I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth, hears my voice.
That's right.
And Pilate said unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. I wanted to recap that more in a modern day conversation. I might read that encounter, that dialogue back and forth as Pilate asking Christ, are you a king? Christ asking, are you asking this for yourself, or did others tell this to you about me? Pilate pointing out, rhetorically, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered this Jew to me. What have you done? Jesus replying, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate asking him again, are you a king then? And Jesus replying, you are right in saying that I'm a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, and I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate asking, what is truth? Where does this put Pilate in our story? Jesus is basically in this encounter appealing to Pilate's sense of reality. Right? He knows Pilate. He knows what's in his heart. But Pilate is given this amazing opportunity. He's standing in the presence of the one who is truth. I mean, that's the irony of it. Right? He's going to casually ask him, almost flippantly, what is truth? The way any politician would. Politicians play fast and loose with truth.
Yeah.
Right? So Pilate asks him, what is truth? But Pilate is issued an invitation to hear from God and recognize reality. Instead, Pilate reveals his own confusion as he remains in the illusion of the liar's grasp. What is truth? I was trying to help Pilate. I think it's probably easier for him in this encounter to say, who is truth? Right? As he stands there right in the face to face of the one that is truth. If you've seen me, you have seen the Father, God made flesh and truth personified in Christ. If you would know truth, you have to accept Christ. If you resist Jesus and his words, you end up following the lie. And so many people today want a truth of their own making. They want a hand in formulating truth. A truth that isn't Christ. Right? We have to be one of the chosen few who listen to Jesus and commit to Jesus and following Jesus with our hearts. Cry out to him and seek his help to know him as the truth. Father, clear away all that is lie and illusion in our lives. Let me see how Christ can be the way, the truth, and life. Ask yourself this morning as you read it, what kept Pilate from seeing Jesus as the truth? Right. If I had to guess, say just based again on his position, talked about this a little bit in Bible study with Artaxerxes as the king of the Persian Empire. You have Pilate as this Roman governor. Right? I think part of it is his pride. Gets in the way of us accepting him in the way of accepting the truth. I think part of it was fear. Right? Can you be controlled by fear? Talked about that in Bible study. The locals came to him to ask him if they wanted to help. They hadn't rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. What was going to happen if they pushed back on what the locals requested? Right? You sure we don't want to compromise? Right? Pilate's in a similar situation. He doesn't know how the Jews would react if he pushed back on their request for persecution of Christ. Right? And he's trying to cling to his own power. He's trying to protect his own power. Right? Pilate sounds to me like the kind of politician who would probably call a Secretary of State and ask him to find 12,000 votes or You know these politicians.
Yes.
Right? To them, truth is their version of events.
Right.
Right? That's what Pilate means when he says, what is truth? Right? He's not brought up in the school of truth being what man says. Right? You know, if I use, watched a documentary yesterday. You know, anybody remember that old Tina Turner song?
Yeah.
Turning into this scripture would be, what has truth got to
do with it?
Got to do with it. What's truth
got to do with it?
Got to do when you want to stay in office.
Yes.
Pilate wanted to stay in power.
Yeah.
Right? And sometimes we want to stay in power and control. We don't want to see the way it works.
Well, what about what I've divined in my own mind?
Yeah.
I think, well, this is what makes sense to me, though. Right? Are you sure? Right?
Don't be like Pilate. Don't close your eyes to the truth and choose to remain in confusion. Look to Jesus and believe in him. We have all kinds of illustrations I could give you, but now is the time. This is the place. Jesus is the answer. I was talking in my Bible study this week on Wednesday. God, Christ, the gospel, talks about love thy neighbor. Right? So many people try and turn that into, you don't know my neighbor. Well, what about it? You can reject the truth all you want. Right, but it's still going to say what it's going to say. Right, and the sooner you accept what it says, love thy neighbor, right, and try and move forward on it. And I'm not saying it's going to, you might have a super challenging neighbor, I don't know. Right, but across communities, we keep trying to find a way to, carve out certain neighbors that we separate and don't want to worship or fellowship with and join ourselves or align ourselves to, God's word hasn't changed.
That's right.
Right? That's those, accept Christ as your answer. Accept the words of Jesus as the answer. Right? If there's any amongst us that believe that Jesus is the promised way of salvation and was God in the flesh who died for our sins, but you haven't been baptized, then I encourage you this morning at this time to come forward and place your faith in Christ.
Amen.
Faith in action, faith through works, faith in commitment, faith in surrendering your will to the will of the Father. Please decide today to follow Christ. If you're in the body of Christ, but you recognize you haven't been living in a way that's pleasing to the Lord, thank God for his mercy, right? And start over, right? Repent. Come back to doing the will of the Father before it's too late. While together we stand and sing the song of invitation.
All right.